From the land to Grand Theatre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bakes at Total Farm Marketing. Drew Lerner will be here with a look at the weather forecast, and in between, we'll get an update of crop progress conditions from the statisticians in Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa, and we'll hear from Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture, about the conditions at the export elevators in New Orleans and what that'll mean for corn and soybean exports from the United States over the coming year, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn in Chicago settled at $5.10 and a quarter. That was a half cent lower on the day. The March down a half, or rather three quarters, at $5.19 and three quarters. And May contract three quarters lower at $5.26 for the corn. November beans $12.79 and a half, up 2.5 cents. January at $12.88 and three quarters, two higher. In March contract, three quarters of a cent higher at $12.95. The bean meal at $3.30, $4.90, up a dime. The bean oil at $57.46, 26 cents lower. Wheat futures soft red December, 7.09 and a half, down 10 and a quarter. The hard red December at 7.04 and three quarters, 12 and three quarters of a cent lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $123.10, down 65. Feeders at $159.27 and a half, 77 and a half cents lower, and lean hogs at $87.37 and a half cents, down 72 and a half cents for the afternoon. Crude oil futures at $69.31 a barrel, up about 95 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.13 and 6 tenths, a penny and 4 tenths higher, and gasoline on the RBOB just about unchanged at $2.13 and 2 tenths of a cent per gallon. That's the wholesale price. Of course, gold at $1,795.10, down $3.40 on the day. The S&P 500 at 4,508, that's down 10.25, and the Dow now at 34,996, 95 points lower for the day. The U.S. dollar at 92.6 is up 0.09. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, to take a look at the marketplace. Jackie, thank you for being with us. And we've got a lot to cover today. Let's jump right into it. Support and resistance levels, what do they look like?
December corn, support 486, resistance 543. We've got major support on a daily chart. Now, those are monthly numbers. Daily chart at 504 and 497. March, 509, 574. May 498 and 536. On beans for November, 1258 and 1462, with support on a daily chart at the 200-day moving average of 1259. January, 1258 and 1458. And March, 1229 and 1420. Now, when you look at gold, December gold still trading in that same range between 1762 and 1910. Really not very exciting at the moment. Dow Jones, now actually lowered the support down to 31,661. Resistance is still up there at 38,521. U.S. dollar continues to be range bound, although we did see the dollar come off of its highs today. And it was interesting because as soon as it came off of its highs, we started to see rebounds in the grain market. So it's definitely having an impact on us. Bitcoin for October also fell apart, went down to support of 41,998 with a resistance of 50,982. They actually launched a Bitcoin currency called Shiba in El Salvador. And the people in El Salvador actually were protesting because Bitcoin just fell apart right after they launched it. But they claim that they're going to save, I think, $170 million just in currency costs by going to Bitcoin, which is backed up by the U.S. dollar compared to where they were before. Managed money. This is interesting, Todd. They increased their positions in soft red wheat from 8,000, from 4,000 to 8,000, decreased their corn from 245 to 238,000, decreased their bean long positions from 63,000 to 60,000, decreased their soy meal from 14 to 11,000 and decreased their soy oil long positions from 61,000 to 53,000. They do, however, still remain long, of course, in all of those categories. When we looked at export inspections, we see wheat exports running about 14% behind a year ago. They were 10% behind last week. So it's just all over the place. And some of it has to do with the holiday and the reporting and everything else. They need to average about 15.4 million bushels to reach the USDA expectation. Now, don't fall apart here. Corn is 86% behind a year ago. It needs to average 44 million bushels. Soybeans, 97% behind a year ago, need to average 40.6 million bushels per week. Those are all relative just because of the timing of, we only had 2 days of reporting for export inspections. And some of it is IDA also. So not a big surprise, I don't think, to anybody.
What do you see for Friday's USDA reports?
You know, it's one of the kind of interesting, actually. The average guess is right now for yield on corn jumped to 175.5. Last month, they were at 174.6 with the USDA. Bean yield went to 50.3 from 50, which bumps up production on both of them and therefore bumps up carryout. And they are also bumping carryout up to 1.159 for old crop. From 1.1 and 166 on beans from old crop. So that is all funneling in, therefore giving us a carryout estimate of 1.329 billion bushels compared to 1.242 in August, 178 million on beans compared to 155 in August. And the only one that went down was wheat, 619 compared to 627 in August. And of course, anytime we have a bump like that, we know that the world supplies are going to go higher. We saw higher corn, slightly lower beans for 2021, and about the same for wheat. 2022, increase in corn, almost a million in metric tons in beans, and just a slightly lower number for wheat. So it's going to be interesting, Todd, when we get into the report on Friday to see if we actually do see the higher yield. And, you know, the possibility is we could see a higher yield, but a lower harvested acreage. You know, if they found a lot of abandoned acres and chopped off acres, that's going to automatically raise the corn yield. Now, the guesses here are all using the same harvested acres number. So it'll really be quite interesting to find out what happens. You know, we've seen, I think everybody's just kind of waiting for this report to come because we just haven't had very much new news around, you know, other than the recovery from Ida and the volume and the money flow. And for everybody who pays attention to the market, volume and money flow are what drive these markets. And they've slowed dramatically ever since August 30th. And so we know what the market's been doing ever since August 30th, just lumbering along, going ever so slowly lower, because there's really nothing there to be able to, this is no news. So we're hoping maybe Friday we'll get some news that'll help.
Interesting. Speaking of no news, we haven't heard news out of China at all?
Well, they continue to buy beans. They bought beans again today, but we certainly haven't heard any corn news out of China. You know, you and I have been talking about how they've been cracking down on technology and cracking down on information dissemination, and now they're squeezing real estate. And so if they really squeeze it, there could be some pretty bad situation going on over in China. You know, it's the most crucial industry, basically, because when you looked at construction materials and housing appliances, that sector was 16.4% of China's economy last year. And Beijing keeps saying housing is for living in, not for speculation. Property prices shouldn't be going up. Well, you know, one of the reasons the housing market you know, they've used the housing market basically as a lever to boost the economy. And that's just what we're coming off of, right? You know, they were down. Now they've boosted the economy. They've used the housing market to do it. And now all of a sudden it really has caught fire. And now they don't want that going on anymore. So it just keeps on going back and forth. So they started some kind of a policy in Beijing last year that's called three red line policy. And that basically caps property developers' leverage. And so because the funding has gone away, they've really crushed a lot of people, especially there was one called China Evergrande. They were the most indebted developer in the country, and they just have basically broken their back. So very interesting way that they operate the country. Let's just put it that way.
It's always interesting to talk with you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
You too. That's Jackie Vake. She is with Total Farm Marketing. Just a quick reminder that if you've not yet registered for the Farm Doc webinar series that's now taking place, the next one comes up tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time. We'll be talking about carbon markets and their development. And then next week, we'll take up grain prices. That'll be post the WASDE report, which comes out Friday this week. You can register online. Visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, or if you find it easier, scroll down to the bottom of the page at our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. And you'll find a link in the calendar to each of the 7 updates that the Farm Doc team will be providing on Thursdays this fall. Let's turn our attention now to Washington, D.C., where USDA yesterday released the weekly crop progress report. We'll hear about those in just a moment. And the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, talked directly about the damage that was done by Ida to the Gulf ports in New Orleans. Gary Crawford has more from the agency.
What effect will the damage to Gulf Coast port facilities have on overall U.S. ag export shipments? Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters Tuesday.
Well, there's going to be some disruption. It's not going to be so critical as to significantly curtail our capacity to export.
Now, this Friday, USDA's Outlook Board puts out its new export and price forecast for the major crops. Board Chairman Mark Jekinowski says he doesn't think the hurricane situation will affect those projections because they are for the entire marketing year coming up.
So even if there's a slowdown in exports for a few weeks or even potentially a few months, over the course of an entire marketing year, it would have to be a lot more severe and have to go on a lot longer before we would make any real judgments at this point.
So don't expect USDA's new supply-demand forecast to reflect port problems from Ida, that forecast coming out Friday noon Eastern Time. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
As Gary noted, Friday, USDA will update the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates and the Crop Production Report. That'll be at 11 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. You can find those numbers at that time on our website at willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to another USDA report released yesterday. The weekly crop progress report, out a day late because of the Labor Day holiday Monday. It showed that 95% of the corn crop across the nation is at least in the dough stage, 74% has dented, and 21% of the crop has matured. 19% is the rolling 5-year average. The condition of the crop down 1 percentage point between the good and excellent categories from the previous week. 96% of the soybeans are setting pods, and 18% of the beans are dropping leaves. 15% is the rolling 5-year average there. And just like corn, the condition of that crop dropped by 1 percentage point in the last week. Now here are updates from the statisticians in Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Field activities included harvesting hay, oats, and corn silage. Corn in or beyond the dough stage reached 97%, 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. 77% of the corn crop has reached the dense stage or beyond, 3 days ahead of normal. 14% of corn has reached maturity, equal to the 5-year average. Iowa's corn condition rated 60% good to excellent. Crop damage was reported in the northeast and west central parts of the state from heavy rain, hail, and strong winds. Soybeans coloring or beyond reached 40%, 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 10%, also 2 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 61% good to excellent. Several reporters noted soybeans have benefited from the recent increased rain. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was cool and mostly wet across Illinois. Rainfall averaged nearly 1.25 inches, more than 0.5 inch above normal, and southern areas were generally wetter than central and northern Illinois. Temperatures averaged 70.7 degrees, nearly 1 degree below normal. For crop progress, 96% of Illinois corn acres have reached the dough stage or gone beyond, and that is equal to the five-year average. 83% of corn acres have reached the dent stage compared to 76% normally, and 30% of Illinois corn acres have reached maturity compared to 23% normally. Corn conditions declined slightly and were rated 7% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 67% good to excellent. 22% of Illinois soybean acres were turning color compared to 11 last year and 25 normally. 9% of soybean acres were dropping leaves compared to 2% 1 year ago and 7 for the 5 year average. Soybean conditions also declined and were reported as 9% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 65% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Continued widespread rain events allowed 4.2 days suitable for field work during the week. Reports indicated that recent rainfall greened pastures and revitalized some crops affected by drought conditions. Field activities for the week included cutting corn for silage. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 15% very short, 26% short, 54% adequate, and 5% surplus. Corn dented reached 71%, that's 4 days behind last year, but 3 days ahead of average. Corn mature reached 18%, 1 day behind last year, but 7 days ahead of the average. Corn harvested for silage reached 48%, that's 3 days ahead of last year and over a week ahead of the 5 year average. Corn condition rated 37%, good to excellent. Soybeans coloring reached 66%, that's 2 days ahead of last year and over a week ahead of the 5 year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 25%, that's 4 days ahead of last year and a week ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 34%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians from USDA for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. We're now joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to discuss the weather forecast across the growing regions of the planet. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, boy, we've got a beautiful day over here in Kansas City. I hope you're getting a piece of that.
Oh, we are. I had the windows open last night. They've been open for a good portion of the day today, and it's just really nice. Looks like it could be great weather for the harvest season. What do you see for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's not a lot to be too concerned with right now. October might turn a little bit, maybe a little cooler and maybe a little more precipitation around once in a while. Nothing excessive, though, but certainly for September, it's looking really nice. A couple of frontal systems every once in a while, but any rain events are going to be short-lived unless we get some kind of tropical thing to come around and come up into the Delta and into the Midwest. That would be something to be watchful of. There's nothing on the charts right now that would do that, though. So it looks really good, bottom line.
Yeah, and for soybeans, even USDA's NAS folks in the weekly crop progress reports, which we just heard, may note that the rainfall over the last week in parts of Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas probably helped the soybean crop out there. So I suppose things are coming along a little better than they had been. Speaking of rainfall, move to South America, where in Argentina they've been pretty dry, I think, in some of the wheat country.
Yeah, the planting season went really well this year, except in maybe a small part of the west portion of Argentina's wheat country. And it was dry in these past several weeks. And with the chatter out there about La Nina and whatnot, everyone was starting to speculate the droughty weather was going to be an issue for Argentina. But then along comes this past week, and we've seen a lot of rain occur across much of the main wheat production areas. And the soil moisture profile has improved tremendously over the last 7 days. There's still some dryness in some of those western areas, and so there is need for more moisture. As we go forward through the coming week, we'll see rain in the south and east portions of Argentina, but those western and northwestern areas are probably not going to see a large volume of moisture, and so there will still be some additional interest in what's going on. But for right now, the situation is certainly a lot better than what a lot of folks thought they'd be seeing in the second week of September.
In Brazil, the planters never seem to stop going.
That's right.
But this is the time of the year we really think about, hey, they're supposed to get some rainfall before they start really moving to plant soybeans. What are your expectations?
Yeah, you know, pre-monsoonal showers and thunderstorms usually start popping up in some of Brazil's more important soybean areas like Mato Grosso and Goiás and parts of Mato Grosso do Sul. Last year, this precipitation failed to evolve in a significant manner because we were in the midst of a significant La Nina event. It was already a month old, and it was intensifying as we went through September. And so over the September-October period, we did poorly with the early season rainfall. And so planting didn't occur or occurred very poorly, and emergence was terrible. Well, this year, another La Nina is predicted, but it is very slow coming around. So far, it doesn't exist. It will evolve as we get into October. But for the month of September, I think the odds are really good that we'll see some of these pre-monsoonal showers and thunderstorms beginning. And that should support that early season planting in the second half of this month for at least Mato Grosso. And it looks really good that that's where we're going to go. In October, La Nina will gradually start having an influence. So we might see the rains become a little more sporadic and light. But I think we're going to see a much better planting season, at least early season planting, in Brazil's center west crop areas relative to last year. And that's an important feature. But while I'm thinking about this La Nina business, a little later in the year, during their summer, like December through February, we will see dryness evolve in Rio Grande do Sul and Paraguay and some areas as far north as southern Paraná. And so that could end up hurting some of their production potential in the south. But all the other crop areas in Brazil are probably going to have a fairly good year.
And before I let you go today, we haven't talked for a bit about the growing regions of Eastern Europe and into Eurasia. What's your assessment of those areas?
Yeah, we've had a dry finish to the summer in southeastern Europe. Including most areas from Hungary down to Greece and from there into Ukraine and parts of Russia's southern region. So the ground is really drying out in some of that region. There is a need for generalized rain, and there's not much on the charts for the next 10 days. Now, winter wheat is already going into the ground from Poland down into Ukraine and eastward through western and northern parts of Russia's production area. And it's not going to be much longer before we start planting in some of those drier southern areas. And so the need for rain in these areas will be on the rise as we go forward through the balance of this month. And right now, like you said, we've got at least 10 days in front of us before there will be any rain in some of these areas. So we'll keep an eye on that. That could end up being an issue since we've had such a tough year for wheat around the world. It wouldn't take much to get people excited.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.